Welcome once more to the ICEJ webinar series brought to you by the International Christian Embassy Jerusalem. We're so glad you've joined us again. Today we're going to have a teaching by our president, Dr. Jürgen Buehler. It was delivered at our recent Feast of Tabernacles celebration here in Jerusalem, and it's on our feast theme of 10 from every nation. He's going to explain all through Zechariah chapter 8, all the things that God has intended to do for Israel, for the Jewish people, for Jerusalem in our day. Hope you enjoy it.
Thus says the Lord of hosts, in those days, 10 men from the nation of every tongue shall take hold of the robe of a Jew, saying, let us go with you, for we have heard that God is with you. 10 from every nation. I want to speak tonight about the feast theme of this year. And in a way, I want to continue what Pastor Manasseh started yesterday. I want us to look at the preceding verses of that amazing chapter where this very last verse, verse 23, is the climax of a divine program of the restoration of Israel. Now, we heard a few days ago about a 20-point plan of Donald Trump for the solution of the Gaza conflict. How many of you have heard that? Now, chapter 8 of Zechariah gives us a 10-point plan for the future of the nation of Israel. And those 10 points, let me tell it and tell you very clearly and very bluntly, they are not up for negotiation. They are not being discussed in the Security Council back and forth. What do you think about that? And like Hamas now, well, we actually like those 20 points, but 7 of them we don't really like. We will not do them. And everybody is happy about that. These are non-negotiable points where God says, I have spoken and I am going to do it. In verse 2, that's how it starts. And you understand it's 10 points because you can underline that in your Bibles. 10 times the Lord says, thus says the Lord. Thus says the Lord. Thus says the Lord 10 times. In the very first one it says here, thus says the Lord of hosts, I am jealous for Zion with great jealousy, and I am jealous for her with great wrath. The first point that God makes here for the restoration of Israel, he informs us that he is emotionally very involved with what is taking place here in this land. I am jealous for this nation. Now, what is jealousy? I believe all of you who are married, you might have experienced it to one degree or the other. It is that you develop feelings about how other people are relating what you think you possess, and you are not happy about that. And that is what is taking place with Israel today. Let me look in my notes to get you the numbers right. It's a perfect starting point for this week's Feast of Tabernacles, because we just had a gathering of the United Nations Assembly. And in this assembly just a few days ago, 142 nations decided to vote for the dividing of this land and for the establishment of a Palestinian state. 142 nations. Many of your nations are among them. The Word of God tells us, I'm exceedingly jealous for Jerusalem. With great wrath, how is your nation doing? Did you even bother to check how your nation voted in the United Nations? Let me tell you, if I read this verse, it makes me understand that God bothers how your nation is voting in the United Nations for Israel, and you should be bothered about it. Now the vote was 142-10. That means there were 10 nations, David, 10 from every nation. 10 nations that decided, no, we are against the division of the land of Israel. And before you give an applause, let me name you those nations. Number one, of course, it's the nation of Israel. They say, we don't want our nation to be divided. Number two, United States of America. Then the next country, Argentina. 10 from Argentina are here. God bless your nation. Hungary, Micronesia, Nauru, Palau, Papua New Guinea, Paraguay, and Tonga. Give those nations a big applause. In the first chapter of the passage of the book of Joel, we read in verse 14, the angel of the Lord talked to me and he said, thus says the Lord of hosts, I am exceedingly jealous for Jerusalem and I am exceedingly angry on the safe or prosperous nations or at the nations at ease. And I'm afraid there are many nations today around the world that are quite at ease as they are raising their hands in the United Nations for the establishment of a Palestinian state. They are not very concerned about what is taking place here in this land. God says, I am jealous for this land. We all know the prophecy and the promise that God gave to Abraham. He says, I'm going to bless those nations, those people that bless ye. But I will curse those who curse you. You have come to Jerusalem today to seek the Lord, and I do ask you, pray for your nation. How is your nation doing? Now, there were a number of nations that abstained from voting, which shows you that the decision is not a final decide in that matter, in those matters. You know, there's something else which bothers me, and I believe God is very much bothered about that, probably much more than I. For example, if you look at the voting pattern of this assembly of all the nations over the last 10 years, we saw 10 votes, for example, going against North Korea resolutions to condemn the atrocities taking place there. You have the nation of Syria, where we just heard how massacres are taking place against Christians over the last 10 years, 12 resolutions against Syria. Now there were 10 resolutions against Iran, where there are dozens, if not hundreds, of Christians in prison today. There were 0 resolutions against Hamas, against Saudi Arabia, which doesn't have a very good human rights record, Iraq or Qatar, 0 resolutions. Qatar, that is hosting Hamas. The vote over the last 10 years of resolutions against the state of Israel were 173. Did you hear that? God says, I'm exceedingly angry on the nations at ease. And I ask you, I plead with you, please pray for your nation. It is not about Israel. I said this many times, I'm not concerned for Israel at all, because I know God is the keeper of Israel and he neither slumbers nor sleeps. But I am concerned for those nations that are turning their face against the Jewish people. It will not be well with them. The first point God makes, I'm exceedingly jealous for Jerusalem. My heart is involved with that. Now, if you are a pastor today, are you emotionally involved with what God is doing here in this land? You might be not, but let me tell you, God is. Let us ask today that He gives us His heart for this nation. The very next point God says, this is the very next verse. And don't be afraid, I'm not reading the entire chapter to you, but this next verse I need to read you. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the second time, I have returned to Zion and I will dwell in the midst of Jerusalem. I have returned to Zion and I will dwell in the midst of Jerusalem. You might say, wait a second, it's not really clear what you are reading. Has he returned already or will he return? Was he already here or is he coming? And some people say, because of that, I have returned to Zion. This will be only a passage in the millennium. I don't believe that is true. Let me explain you how I understand it. In the little community where we are living outside of Jerusalem, beside our house, there was an empty plot that was available to purchase. Now I called some friends and even some family members as, please buy this plot of land because we wanted to have good neighbors behind beside us. But unfortunately, this plot of land was too expensive, so it was empty. There was all kind of stuff growing. My wife was concerned that snakes and rats and worms was actually sneaking around there. And one day, a couple showed up. And they came every single day. They took measurements, they took pictures. They brought after some time people with them and pointed with their fingers around. Very soon, construction cranes were coming in and they were moving around and they were taking the earth out. And then other people came in, construction workers that were building and putting the roof up. And every single day, I couldn't believe it, this couple was showing their overseeing that their property is being properly dealt with. And then after roughly 2 years, big moving trucks arrived and the couple finally moved in into the house that they have been building. And I believe that is taking place here in Israel. God has returned and He's surveying the land. What Ezekiel actually is referring to, what Zechariah is referring to, is the prophet of Ezekiel who saw the Shekinah glory departing from Jerusalem. He saw it moving out of the temple, first into the hall of the nations, and then out of the golden gate, moving slowly up over the several chapters to the Mount of Olives until it finally completely left the city and it became a shadow of itself. And Zechariah saw the glory of God slowly returning. God says, I'm coming back. I'm talking to some of the construction workers here in this land. I saw Rick Ridings the other day. I believe he's talking to him what his plans are for Jerusalem. He's talking to ministries in this land, messianic pastors, shares with them his vision because one day he will return and he will make this city his habitation. And God is inviting us today to become a part of this incredible construction work that is taking place here in this land to prepare this city for the very presence of God. The third point and the fourth and the fifth, I want to summarize them very quickly. God gives us a very quick overview how the nature of that restoration will look like. We heard it yesterday from Pastor Manasseh. He said, the old and the young people were coming. This is verse 4. Said, thus says the Lord, old men and old women will come again and be on the streets of Jerusalem. And they will on the streets there will be the calls of the boys and the girls that are running through the streets. Now this passage is being fulfilled today before our eyes. Secondly, he says in verse 6, thus says the Lord, he says, it will be marvelous, it will be a miracle, the restoration of Israel. Now let me tell you what is taking place here in this land. It is nothing else than a miracle. I want to invite you to take out your cell phones very briefly and go to Google Maps, turn on the satellite view of the Middle East, and you will see something extraordinary. Between Egypt and Israel, there is a sharp borderline. And nobody really could explain it to me satisfactorily. On the west east side of that borderline, Israel, it is much greener than on the western side in Egypt. You can see it from the satellite that God is restoring his nation. What was taking place over these last few weeks and months? Let me tell you, it is a huge miracle. On October 7, we were depressed. We thought the Lord actually is allowing a great disaster to come upon Israel. Two of our boys, they have been involved in the, well, they are serving in the IDF here, and they came back with doomsday messages, what they heard from their units. My boy was called in and to go down to Gaza, and I never saw him so fearful like on that day, because it looked disastrous for Israel. And nobody would have thought what is taking place in the Middle East today. 2 years ago, everybody was afraid. 140,000 missiles from Lebanon are directed to Israel. We got scared in those days. What about Hezbollah when they join the war and send their missiles to Israel? We are lost. No Iron Dome can save us. Iran was leading the charge against Israel. And of course, in Syria, there were rhetoric against Israel, and we were surrounded by nations that wanted to annihilate the state of Israel. Now Hezbollah, with their 140,000 missiles, to tell you the truth, they don't exist anymore today. Their 140,000 missiles, they were destroyed by Israel before they could be launched against the Jewish state. Syria has a new leadership today. Iran is only a shadow of what you used to be just a few months ago. And if I would have told you that 2 years ago this is going to happen, you would have said, Jürgen, you are crazy. This will never happen. But it's taking place in our days because the lion of the tribe of Judah, he is roaring over this nation. It is miraculous. And then he says, behold, I'm going to bring my people from the east and from the west. Thus says the Lord again for the fifth time. Aliyah. You know what is another miracle? I just talked to staff of the Jewish agency, actually to leaders. Some of them will be with us tomorrow. And they told me the amazing thing is that since October 7 until now, the people who filed a request and showed interest to make Aliyah to the state of Israel doubled since October 7. I don't think there is any nation in the world that sees an increase in immigration to that land during a wartime. It's happening here in this land. And then listen very carefully. Thus says the Lord of hosts, let your hands be strong. And then something very amazing is being told here. He says, I will not deal with the remnant of this people as in former days, declares the Lord. And that's quite an extraordinary statement, because we all believe a God who never changes, who is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. But God announces to us here, behold, the time is coming when I'm going to change the way how I'm dealing with the Jewish people. Where I'm not dealing with them anymore like in the past, but something new is taking place. And he told the Jewish people, let your heart be strong. And if they didn't get it, he says it for a second time, thus says the Lord. Now this is quite amazing here. As I have purposed to bring disaster to you when your fathers provoked me to wrath and I did not relent, says the Lord of hosts, so again I purposed in these days to bring good to Jerusalem and to the house of Judah, fear not. Now what God is telling here, I was purposing, I was deciding in my own opinion, in my mind, to bring judgment upon Israel because they rebelled against me. And this got so worse, that so bad, that even to the prophet Ezekiel, God says, even if Job and Moses would be interceding for your people, I would not listen because I purposed to bring judgment on Israel. If you would have had a prayer ministry for Israel, it would be a ministry of no success. But God says, in the same way how I purposed to bring judgment upon Israel, I have purposed to restore the nation of Israel. Did you hear that? It's a paradigm shift of theology on Israel. What was true 200 years ago for Israel, it is not anymore true today. If you didn't hold Israel in high esteem 100 years ago, I believe you could have got away with it. But woe upon you if you say, I don't have time for Israel. I have more things to do, because God changed his mind over the nation. He said, the time to favor Zion has come. And let me tell you, this time is now. And that means if you are a pastor, if you didn't care so much for Israel, if you never preached about Israel, if you never had an Israel conference, it was maybe acceptable 70 years ago or 100 years ago. But I hope you noticed things changed up in the heavenlies. God became jealous for his people. He's changing the way how he's dealing with Israel. And let me tell you, this is for each one of us. If God is changing the way how he's dealing with Israel, so do we. We need to change our ways. Now, the final three, thus says the Lord. Most commentators agree that they are futuristic. Thus says the Lord, speaking about the future. And the very first one of those three, I believe the Lord really speaks about a future day. We experience today, even on this 7th of October, we are not there yet. He says, but thus says the Lord, the day will come when your fast days that commemorate the destruction, that commemorate the persecution, that commemorate the Holocaust, that commemorate October 7th, they one day will be days of joy and dancing for you. Now, this is still future for Israel. But what is very exciting to me is point 9 and point 10. Point 9, it says, the 9th time, thus says the Lord of hosts. Let me read that whole verse to you. People shall yet come, even the inhabitants of many cities. The inhabitant of one city shall go to another, saying, Let us go at once, or some translate, let us go again, to entreat the favor of the Lord and to seek the Lord of hosts. I myself am going. Many people, strong nations, shall come to seek the Lord of hosts in Jerusalem and to entreat the favor of the Lord. Now turn to your neighbor today. He says, you are the beginning of the fulfillment of that prophecy. Can we turn on the lights, please, here in the hall? Just look around. I see here inhabitants of many nations, people from many cities. I know there were one branch calling the other branch. He says, we are bringing 50 people to the feast. How many are you bringing? I know there is an ongoing discussion between Finland and America. How many do you have? We try to outdo you. You see already the foreshadow of this great fulfillment right here in this hall. You are part of biblical prophecy. Give yourself a big hand clap. Now, of course, you might say, well, wait a second, there is a future fulfillment. Yes, there is. I'm not sure how many of you know the great theologian George Eldon Ladd. I know, Malcolm, you know him very well. He wrote a fantastic book which is called The Presence of the Future. And what you see here in this hall is the presence of the future, the presence of the age to come. God is already here, starting the fulfillment, what he's going to do in his future kingdom. You are the presence of the future, not back to the future, but you already are living in it. And then finally, thus says the Lord of hosts. Now let me make a comment here. October 7 taught us a great lot, a whole great lot. And one of the things I started to appreciate the name of the Lord, Adonai Tzevaot. That's the name that is being used here. The Lord of hosts. Now that sounds very liturgical and spiritual and Christian, of the heavenly host. You think of those baby angels playing the harps, almost like my daughter Yaeli was doing. It is Adonai Tzevaot, Yahweh Tzevaot. Tzevaot, it's the name how the IDF, the Israeli army, is calling themselves. We are the Tzava, they say. Tzevaot is the plural of that. God says, I am the God of the armies. And let me tell you why Israel was so astonishingly successful. It wasn't because of the general staff of the IDF. They have great generals, they have amazing officers, amazing weaponries and all that. But I believe it's because the Lord Tzevaot, the Lord of the armies, was on the side of his people and he was fighting for them. Thus says the Lord of hosts, in those days, 10 men from every nation, every tongue shall take hold of the robe of a Jew, saying, let us go with you, because we know the Lord is with you. Amen. Now, let me tell you what this passage means, and I have just a couple of minutes time to do so. Tomorrow, David Parsons gives you the full picture of that. You need to be there in this hall to get it. The Lord says there will come a spiritual revival here to the land of Israel that will transform the nation of Israel in such a way that the nations of this world will take attention to what is going on here in the body of Messiah in this land. Now let me define here what it says, 10 from every nation. It actually says from all the nations of every tongue. Now, I don't believe that God actually counts here the United Nations vote or the United Nations numbers, which are 220 nations. I was talking a few days ago at the opening of the Fiji embassy. I was talking to the ambassador of Papua New Guinea, and I spoke to him about the feast team. And he says, we are expecting a big delegation of Papua New Guinea because it says from all the languages. And I informed him, and he agreed, you are right. He says, there are 750 languages in Papua New Guinea. 10 of all those languages, please bring them to the Feast of Tabernacles. That means there will be a mass movement of people taking interest of what's going on in this land. Paul indicates that in Romans 11:12 and Romans 11:15. He says there is a future waiting for this land. He says, think about it. If in their blinding, in their rejection, in their face of judgment, this nation already provided such an incredible blessing to the nation. Again, look around you. The gospel reached the ends of the earth, the Pacific Islands of Fiji, Samoa, and Tonga, and they all are here today. What a blessing. And Paul says all this happened while Israel was blinded. Now imagine how much the blessing will be if their fullness will come in. He says in verse 15, he says, will be nothing else than life from the dead. And that's what this passage speaks about. 10 of every nation will come, not because of the great scientists, not because of Israel is leading the AI movement, not because Israel has the best doctors and scientists, but they say, we want to get hold of you because God is with you. And people will come here and their lives will change. Now there are 4 points. You take notes very quickly what the Bible says about pilgrimage to Israel. Number one, we heard yesterday from Pastor Manasseh, people come to worship the Lord. Was the worship not wonderful tonight? Number two, the word of the Lord will come forth from Jerusalem. People will increasingly come to this land because there will be a special deposit of revelation here in that city. God will speak to you in prophetic ways even while you are here in Jerusalem at the Feast of Tabernacles. People come to bring their offerings. We heard it from Nick. It was a custom for the Jewish people. They didn't dare to come empty-handed to Jerusalem. And they brought their offerings to the Lord, to Jerusalem, because they knew and understood as they do so, there will be a blessing coming back to them. Amen. And finally, it says they came to entreat the favor of the Lord because he will be found here in Jerusalem.
I hope you enjoyed that teaching by our president, Dr. Jürgen Buehler, during our recent Feast of Tabernacles celebration. We'll see you next week here on the ICEJ webinar.